Yeah, because, you know, I mean, say what you want about Matt Letizia, but there are a lot more planes in the sky now, aren't there? So just makes you think, doesn't it? Makes you think. Oh, sorry. Didn't realise you were there. Welcome to the Wizards of Drivel podcast, a podcast all about questioning things, questioning them. But tell you what, we're not questioning that Stoke status in the championship, because we're only bloody safe after a surprising win away at Southampton, which one of us, maybe two, I don't know, was there. David Cowlishaw, you join me, and how are you?
I'm very well. I went to Southampton, had a nice time. Or is that what they want you to think?
Well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, what is Southampton, really?
Maybe it's not a real place. I'm sorry. It did not exist as a place.
Oh, Tom Thrower, it's been a while since you were on these green and pleasant pastures. How are you?
I'm good. I'm back. And I was also just thinking that, you know, Stoke not getting relegated, that didn't happen before vaccines, did it? You know, makes you think.
We're just asking questions, Tom. We're just asking questions. That's all, right? Anyone can ask questions. A question I'd like to ask is, Tony Lloyd, how are you?
I'm all right. Thank you for asking. It's been a busy week for me. This is all very 2019, isn't it? Like, we're all looking forward to the forthcoming 2020 Tokyo Olympics. I'm sure that'll be a rare old time.
Yeah. Yes. Well, makes you think. It was great start. It was Stoke City 1, or more importantly, Tyrese Campbell 1, Southampton 0, in a game that can honestly be described as a very well-deserved win. At least that's how I view it. I thought that we were just pretty good, to be honest, and it secures our status in the league. So whilst we will talk about the game yesterday, I think broadly we can assume the season is pretty much done now, and we can talk about, you know, who's been your player of the season and all that fun non-controversial stuff. But yes, Dave, you were there yesterday. You did go to Southampton.
Yes.
So what did you make of the game? Do you follow my assessment that we were the deserved winners?
Absolutely. Yep. I think it was one of our better displays this season, probably a top five. Again, the top five isn't saying an awful lot, but what was perhaps unusual as opposed to other good performances we've had this season is we created a lot of chances, and good chances as well, chances we should have scored or been given penalties for getting in the position of. Southampton, like, let's be honest, we're going through the motions a bit. They knew that the jig was up for their automatic promotions. And they've been out of form as well. So they were a bit like, okay, I kind of don't want to get injured before the playoffs. So they sat off as a bit, but like our chances came from turning over their possession really high, either high up the pitch or just turning the possession over well and breaking well. Campbell was excellent, thoroughly deserved his goal. Should have had a penalty, should have had an assist when he squared it to Manhoof. And just was absolutely superb all game. Manhoof and Bay played really good supporting roles, but it was just a really fantastic away performance. And very, very similar in sort of vibe to the Plymouth game. It's the same 11, producing what should have been another 3-0 win. And it's are we starting to see like proper Schumacher ball now? We've started to see like how he actually wants to play. I hope so. And I hope we see this team play like this more often, because it was fun. And supporting Stoke hasn't been always fun, but in non-fun circumstances, we've produced some quite fun results and performances. So, jolly good show. Up them Potters.
I watched it on a perfectly legitimate means of watching, and said video kept flicking between what I can only assume was the Stoke stream with Stoke commentary and the Southampton one. More often than not, stayed on Southampton commentary. And the Southampton commentators, it was a great way of, I know every single commentary team has its own confirmation bias and it's biased towards its own team. But it was like being tuned into a slightly different reality because their commentary team was saying, ah, oh, just don't feel like Stoke have had best chances here. We could have been three or four goals up here. And this was just after, I think it was Million had that one-on-one shot with the keeper that he probably should have tucked it in a corner. Like it was just a weird alternate reality because it was just not how I viewed the game at all. But then again, my own bias.
Someone associated with Southampton living in an alternate reality.
Oh.
Well, but it did fill me
Stupid
with
Francis Benali.
it did fill me with some level of
Mark Draper. Sorry.
some level of confidence in that, as you say, we've not had a lot to really enjoy this season. And whilst I don't want to be like, yeah, we're back, boys. This is it now. Get
We
ready.
are back. Sorry, Chris. We are back.
It certainly did feel a lot more like, oh, okay, I get an idea of how Schumacher wants us to play. Tom, would you concur with Dave in terms of, and myself, in terms of like this team? Did it feel good?
Yeah, they're good lads, you know. Josh Lauren is not remotely embarrassing, and I am pleased to have him as my captain, and I'm sure you know that the Southampton commentary you listened to agreed with
Yeah.
that pretty wholeheartedly. Yeah, I feel like we look like a football team, but part of me is like it's April.
Yeah.
This is what we do in April.
Yep.
We give you hope for next season, and ooh, aren't you gonna be interested by the fun and new ways we're gonna dash said hope? I think Dave actually said hope three times in his response to the thing, and the negative part of my brain was like, oh God, here we go.
We've been here before.
But objectively, like tracking the performance of Stoke away at the four best teams in the league under Schumacher, because Neil stole the opportunity at Port whatever Ipswich's ground's called, it's something Port.
Portman Road.
That's the one. I was going to say Portland, but then I knew that was wrong,
The
so I
cheese
stopped.
factory.
Yeah, tractors. But we started with that Leicester game, which, like, let's not dwell on that. Then
Yes.
we played Leeds and looked like we tried and could have probably nicked something. And now we've actually like gone the next step and tried and been good. And we look different as well following that. I mean, during the Plymouth win, actually, like the players. I mean, Junho was the only player before the past two games where he'd get the ball and just be like, oh, right, there's someone trying to tackle me. I'll just go past him. That they're all doing it now. Has it got to their heads? Maybe. Or is this what football teams are supposed to look like? Also, maybe. So, on the one hand, objectively, yes, we have got better, and that is lovely. On the other hand, oh no, it's April and we're going to do it all over again. And I don't want October to come.
When we inevitably get a new manager, you mean?
Well,
Yeah.
that is going to be fun. We'll talk about Schumacher and what we think of him in a minute. One thing that is for sure, Tony, is that it was a really, really nice goal. A goal from Tyrese Campbell, who we'll speak about in a minute, could be not here next year, but we've seen it before. We've seen that type of move from him before, but he's just a lovely goal, right?
It was a very Tyrese Campbell goal, and at the same time, it wasn't. And I think The more I've watched the video of it, the more I'm convinced it was a Taylor Harwood-Bellis goal in the making. Because obviously he knows them, they know each other, they've played together. Tyrese has a signature move that he probably did quite a lot more when they were playing together than he does and he has recently, where he just cuts inside and twats it in the far post with his left foot, which is very, very good. And he's immaculate at it. And you can see Taylor is like, yeah, I know your game, son. And he's saying, well, I'll just make you play on your right foot. And he shows him onto his right. He shows him onto his right, and he's just waiting for him to cut back all the time. And then he doesn't. And he's not ready for it at all. And he's just like, oh, fuck. As he just runs off and twats it with his right foot straight through the middle of a keeper. And I'm absolutely sure that he was just waiting for him to cut back. And he just wasn't prepared for him to not do it because he doesn't do it very often. And I think that helped it. But it was a lovely finish on his shit right foot as well.
There's a majestic photo, I think, on Phil Griggs' Instagram of Tyrese approximately half a second after hitting it, and it's not actually gone in yet, but I think it's sort of somewhere between Alex McCarthy's legs, and his face is like pure done it goal, and he's almost like you can see he's running off like someone does, you know, when someone hits a really sweet free kick, or you know Jimmy Anderson has pitched it, and he's like, yeah, that's getting edged to first slip. I know exactly what's happening, and it's just so sweet to see Tyrese like back
Enjoying football, yeah.
being nice.
Yeah. Long may it continue.
Yeah. And I think like what we've missed in like the previous episodes when we've had conversations about, you know, his future of the club and the perception of him and all the rest of it. Schumacher got it Bob on in the interview afterwards when he said he needed a run of games, and we're getting the result from him having a run of games now. And because the difference is Tyrese Campbell is a lot higher quality than any other forward we've got, and he has got a load of quality for this level. If he's, you know, if he's backed, if he's in a team that gives him the ball, and if he's in a team that supports him and like isn't trying to whack the ball up to his head at every interval. I appreciate the goal came from a long ball, but it came from a ball that allowed him to, you know, be on the shoulder of his defender and run onto it. He's when he plays like that, he's absolutely mustard. And like, I'm not surprised now to see all the comments being like, "Sign that contract, Tyrese, sign that contract." I don't know if he will. I don't know if he is in the manager's plans or if the manager wants someone else. I'd love him to stay and, you know, have another season where he can, you know, if he plays every game in the season. Unrealistic, I know, but he's scoring probably 12 goals if he's in any sort of form, at least. And God knows, a 12 goal a season striker would have been bloody lovely this season, let alone any more than that. So it's just really nice that even if he is going, like the goal that kept us up is a Tyrese Campbell goal, because he's taken a lot of shit, most of it thoroughly undeserved, and he's just reminded us of the player we've had and actually relied on for large portions of our time in the championship.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. As you say, though, it is his goal that solidifies us in this division for yet another season. If results go our way against is it Bristol City last day? We could finish in 16th place, back where we belong, boys. Come on.
We've got
We
our
can we
club
overtake
back.
we can overtake Sunderland if we win 25-0. This is and that would be funny. I was looking at the table here. A few teams still in it. I was chatting to Matt yesterday, and talking about our ideal teams we'd like to see relegated. Any particular team you want to see go down?
From the
Premier League or from?
No. Sorry, from the Championship. We were saying the funniest possible events right now is Plymouth going down. It would be quite amusing.
It's the Mark Corrigan in Peep Show thing, like when he's deciding whether to give Jeff a bonus. Like, what's funnier, a measly Birmingham or a pathetic Plymouth? Both are very funny. I think. I don't know. I feel like Plymouth will be probably quite bad still next season. I feel like Birmingham is the sort of team that can maybe, like, you know, with a good manager, you know, potentially be in and around us. So I'm not bothered. Like, you know, I'd rather not go to St. Andrews again, but I've never been to the Plymouth ground. So, yeah, funny.
I have another candidate for relegation that I think would be funny.
Go on.
Blackburn, because they can get relegated. I genuinely think that would be exceptionally hilarious because of way they started the season. And they'll get relegated with the top scorer in the league. That's awesome. That's the funniest thing that could possibly happen. That's great.
Mm. Yeah. I mean,
is it too late for some kind of clerical error or points, whatever the opposite of a deduction is, that would save Rotherham? Because I'd quite like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Just wait 2 years, Tony. Better. They'll be back.
Yeah, but will we be? Or will...
We're always back.
There's two ways out of this division.
Well, the season is essentially over. I know we've still got a game to play, but... all the Twitter accounts are all talking about players of the season, signings of the season, all that type of jazz. So a look back on the season that was, I suppose overall, how do we feel about Schumacher? Being honest, he's staying. They're not going to get rid of him. He is staying until October. So what have we made of him? What have we made of the team now? Yeah, what are your thoughts?
He's reacted well when the chips have been down, when, you know, when we've looked in that really ropey position however many weeks ago it was. Like, we recovered so well from that, picked up some really good away wins. It was nice to kind of get that comprehensive home win in a must-win game. And, like, obviously it's better than it was under Alex Neil. That's he's cleared that very low bar. Well done. If you'd have asked me, I think you may even have asked me on the podcast 6, 7, 8 weeks ago, I'd have said jury's very much out, because there were still these performances where it was like, I'm not even sure what we're trying to do. Seems to have, like, you know, not played that kind of football that was successful at Plymouth. Kundal looked to be an absolute pony of a signing. But these few weeks, and again, taking into Tom's point that April is weird, so don't go weird in April. I suppose, for keeping us up, which was like the main thing he was came here to do. Like, yes, he's passed. B-.
He did. He speed ran the enthusiastic new Stoke manager to that haunted look, like, really quickly. Yeah. And to see him then come back from that is good vibes, definitely, because we've seen that happen a lot. Where they come in, like, yeah, I'm good. I know what I'm doing. I'm not stupid. Mm. What the fuck am I doing here?
Like, I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, we had a great April last time, but then we had maybe two or three games in May where we, like, fell off and we're like, oh God, Alex Neil's terrible again. We've only got one game in which to fall off. Now, unless we lose 5-0 to Bristol City, like, you're still going to have that bit of momentum going into next season. I know we'll probably have different players and stuff, but, like, he probably won't be despised by the time the whistle blows on the season. So that's a nice position for him to be in. Sorry, yeah, good lad.
He is the first, I think, manager we've had since relegation who has come back from the dead being three at the back, pack the midfield, maybe we'll nick a goal, which all of our managers, like Tony said, reach at some point, and Schumacher, ironically, did speed run that. And now, I don't know, now I really like him, and I kind of like the squad, so my mental health at some point next year is going to get an absolute kicking.
Yeah.
I've been here before, and it's just nice. Like we play inverted wing backs. That's so cool. Like there was a point where Manhoff was on the wing, and Hoover had made a run through the box inside him, and I was like, "Who the fuck do we think we are? This
Is
is
it is
that's we're gonna have a set piece coach next."
is this football?
Yeah, exactly. It's 2024, and Stoke are in it.
I think the turning point for him, and people say it was John Waters arriving, it was the turning point for Schumacher was realizing he couldn't rely on Lyndon Gooch to be our like only player.
He got injured.
Yeah.
Oh,
He just
don't.
like he's got a book like entitled Attacking Strategy, and it's just a picture of Lyndon Gooch, and then Gooch gets
And
injured.
eagles and freedom.
He turns to the seven attacking players in his dressing room and thinks, right.
Which one of you
What's
can play
going
left back?
on?
My mental health is in tatters already because Tom's just mentioned being happy with a manager, and now you've just mentioned fullback. So I'm going to leave, I think, now. Fucking
So,
stupid club.
also encouragement for next season, back from injury and throwing smaller men around at St. Mary's, Junior. Junior came on, played essentially right wing, and was just like he was just like, yes, I forgot about him. Get in.
It's funny, like we well, when I was talking to Matt yesterday, we were talking about what the squad may look like next season, the number of loan people we've got who are going back and who might return and that type of thing. But yeah, Junior coming on was genuinely a case of like, oh, yeah, forgotten that that you existed. Same with Lyndon Gooch that you've just mentioned. I'm like, oh God, forgot we had him. That's a good stuff. Player of the season then. It's open for voting on the website. Who do you think has? I know it's slim pickings, isn't it, really? But who do you think has been a small light in what has been a season of darkness?
Berger, but yeah, I mean, like it's surprising a bit that he's like been on the bench to the last few games or quite a lot of the last few games. So maybe he won't be like, maybe his place isn't 100% certain for next season. You never know. But I think in terms of like, especially in those dog days of winter, like the rare results and rare performances we did have, like did center around him massively, and we'd be in a hell. We'd be down without him in the middle for that time, I think. Whereas there was a lot of like movement in that centre midfield position with Baker in and out of the team, Lauren not really having a great season, Thompson only just now starting to have a good season, Kundal, like remember, oh God, Kundal when he arrived, we were like, oh my God, what's happening here? But they're like, I think of games like the QPR game at home where he essentially won that match on his own. Performances like away at Birmingham, where it's just like he was pulling all the strings. It's between Berger and Juno, and Juno's grown, and it's been a really lovely sort of gradual rise throughout the season for Juno. But I think just in terms of overall importance, it's the Burgermeister.
I think it did feel like he just knackered himself out, holding us up single-handed for that long. And the last few games when he's come on, he's looked knackered, even though he's come on for sort of 20 minutes a couple of times. So I suspect it's that more than anything that's shaded the end of his season and him not appearing as much. I think you're right about those two, though.
Yeah, I mean, Junho's the vibes pick, I think. Like, he is. Oh, he's. You can fall in love with a footballer again. I forgot that you could do this. And
Danger.
he is just.
Oh, he
I
glides,
think.
doesn't he? Oh.
Since, like. probably what, March, he's just been on another level. Like he looks like he's actually had this time to settle into the championship, and he knows what it's about. And I think he got some really unfair criticism when he first started playing for us about sort of being weak and lacking the physicality to play in this league. He isn't at all. He is totally ready for a fight. I just think he didn't quite know how much of it he needed, and now he does. And we hope that he's in a position where he can fire into the next season. But Junho's who I've voted for, and I just also wanted to crack open the can of worms that is the Jordan Thompson debate. He's
No,
not even the
Tom.
form pick for the end of the season. Like the recency bias pick for player of the season is Hoover, because
Hoover,
Hoover's
yeah.
actually been really good, and again is a lone player who Victor Moses levels of, well, relatively, but of, oh my God, I really would like him to carry on playing for us for forever. He
Yeah,
did score
absolutely.
early as well. Did, yeah.
I mean, like, I probably have. De I've de see. I'm a bit annoyed about the recent discourse because I've defended Jordan Thompson for quite a long time, but this season I felt like it's been quite an open secret that he's just not that good. And like I will say, he had a cracking game yesterday, had a cracking game against Plymouth, and yeah, I absolutely don't want to like denigrate those performances at all because he was genuinely really good. But player of the season, like even as like a consolation, like best performer or like tried the hardest kind of thing, like as a participation trophy, I'm not even giving him a participation trophy, like I don't know, I feel like it's a similar Joe Allen thing where like players in those defensive midfield positions like get a lot more credit than they're due,
I would
perhaps because of the nature of the
I'm
position.
Whelan.
But I would go with, like, again, I think Jordan Thompson's fine. He's fine. He's like lower championship table, maybe upper League One
Yeah,
quality
he's a
player.
decent squad option,
He's
Tom.
fine. He is a squad, exactly. Like, even with when Joe Allen was here, people who were like his strongest fans would big him up, right? And be like, yeah, he's just the yeah, he works really hard, he does all this stuff. All the like arguments for Thompson for player of the season have been like, yeah, he's just been decent. Well, that's not good enough to be player of the season, surely.
He cried at a football match in Glasgow,
He
and then he
passes to
played
his
at
teammates. Well,
left back,
I was gonna say,
lost
so
for Queen.
yeah,
Oh no,
like,
she's
would
dead.
you
The other one, King.
even
I was gonna
like
say, I
it's
was
sorry, Chris.
go on, Chris.
No, I was gonna say, Tony, would you describe him as a staunch player? But I did ask.
Starch player. I describe him as a starch player. He's 30% potato.
I am interested in like why I did ask the question on Twitter, and only really got one serious reply, which was he does the simple stuff, makes tackles, passes to teammates, is willing to play out a position and put a shift in. Which okay, that's like I don't know, is that player of the season caliber?
He does pass the teammates, but he also sometimes doesn't pass the teammates, and he also sometimes doesn't make the tackles, which aligns him with all our other players.
Yeah, I think Berger's gonna
And
win.
also,
It's been
like,
here a
also,
while.
if you very generously like say Jordan Thompson's a 6 out of 10 player every game, he's not. But like, even if you thought that, it's better to be Wouter Berger, who is like one game in five, he's a 8 or 9, and the rest of the time he's 7, occasionally can be 4 or 5. Okay, like one in five games
Yes.
you'll also have a stinker. It's better to, have that higher ceiling, because that quality has won us games and has got us points and got us over the line. Like, I don't want to like just have a go at Jordan Thompson because
He's fine.
he's been cherry picked as, the outside bet for player of the season. If you think it, like, who would your third place player be? Because I don't know who I would pick as third place player. I think Josh Laurent's got a lot of shit, but I don't think he's really.
Laurent was up there for me, and Hoover, I think, had a middle bit was a bit shit, but he did it. He's not a really amazing defender, but he does have a habit of scoring more goals than you'd expect someone
I
to
look,
for our club
I look,
ever. So
I look forward to next season and finding out who McNally and Rose actually are, and if one of them's better than the other one, because I still don't know. After the whole season, we've got no idea.
Have you considered applying for a job on BBC Radio Stoke?
No, but give me Andre Vidigal's August over Jordan Thompson's entire season, like every single in a not harsh way.
Listen,
like
without
winning games matters, and thanks for Birmingham away, Jordan, but
this is going to sound really passive aggressive, and I do
Vidigal also scored in Birmingham away, sorry.
I don't mean this to sound passive aggressive, but like,
but we are morally
superior.
Yes,
it's because he supports
Rangers.
This is what I was gonna
say. I did see on my perusing of Twitter, like someone that say that Jordan Thompson is player of the season. Don't listen to what podcast boys tell you. I'm arrogant enough to assume that the podcast boys in question are us. It could be the Potters podcast. It could be Tony Pulis Cat podcast. They could be talking about any of them.
I heard Cat, not Cat there.
That's a podcast I'd listen to.
Works hard. He's a terrific cat.
But like, I want to point out that Jordan Thompson's fine. Like, no one's saying he's the worst player in the world. He's fine. He's a solid squad option. He's all right. Like, whatever. He's all right. Though I just don't think he's player of the season material, but he's fine. I'm not like...
If he had a really good season.
Yes. Yes. Saying that,
it just hasn't happened yet. We haven't seen that from him. Maybe
it's
next way year.
Better.
If we find ourselves in League One, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, dear me.
Also, maybe
actually,
maybe Jack Bonham will be.
I think we should have been promoted this season, guys, because we've been pretty solid every game. We've generally passed to our team, mate. I think the BFL should have said that.
Oh, I mean, that's fundamentally incorrect, because we didn't really pass to our teammates, nor did we tackle successfully, which is why we're 18th.
We're doing
a really good run.
We're doing nothing here to get rid of those accusations of being arrogant podcast boys.
We have for the past eight years.
Don't be a thick idiot then. Sorry. Yeah. Like, I know it's the internet.
Have better opinions.
I know it's like, you can't say anything these days, and, where everyone should be entitled to their own opinion, but some people are thick idiots, right?
it's okay to be wrong, and I'm sure when the day comes when I am wrong, I'll take it gracefully.
I mean, they're probably not completely useless. I mean, they own a phone; they can type in English.
That's good.
It's good to know a language.
I hope the BBC Stoke, when they clip this, it's going to be great and viral, isn't it? They're going to love this. No, they don't listen to this. Don't be stupid. We haven't got too long left. Really, really quickly. Berger signing of the season?
Yep.
Or are we going... No, you, Bay?
No, Bay, because I voted him for player of the season. So,
fair enough. Shout out Jared Dublin, by the way, for signing the only two players who were actually in this conversation.
This is very true.
From abroad.
Oh, we don't really... Listen, I think if we'll come back and podcast next week, and I think that will be more a chat about how we feel everything's gone, looking forward to the future, because we don't have that long left. So instead, I'm going to say goodbye, and we'll leave that on a cliffhanger so people tune in next time. Tony, you know what? Thank you for being here.
I'm unsatisfied with our current goalkeeping options. Have a good week.
Tom, have yourself a nice time.
Up the hippos.
Up the hippos. Dave, I'll see you in the
Tony Pulis's cat.
And you guys listening at home, tune
Ricardo
in.
Ricardo Furler.
Tune in next week. We will do reviews and stuff. But until then, stay safe. Go on, Stoke. Beat Bristol City. That'll be nice, won't it?
Lee Catamole.
Meow.
My work here is done. I'm spent. Toodaloo, magic tiddly peep.